Chillag, Ville II. Before then, of course, it would have been the Spanish Civil War, and I wondered if that affected, you know, knowing your father's political leanings, whether he would have been at least interested, or whether you heard talk about this.
The Spanish Civil War started, if I remember correctly, about July 1936. And whilst politically my father and his circle were involved in all sorts of ways with it, only a number of his friends actually have joined the war itself. And some of those people, when the Spanish Civil War was over, escaped or emigrated to the Soviet Union. And most of them, that is, the ones that survived the first Russian purges, finished up in later years again further west, being involved in politics in Hungary, in Czechoslovakia. But that is the sort of extent the Spanish Civil War had.
So what were you doing about this time? You know, you mentioned the Anschluss, which would have been 1938, wouldn't it? Yes. What would your situation have been then, John?
In 1938, in March, when the Anschluss happened, the annexation of Austria into Germany, I was living in Győr in Hungary, some 30 miles or less from the Austrian border. And whilst one has heard of problems, difficulties and worse in Germany itself, with individual Jews rather than as a whole group, it was only after the annexation of Austria when we saw a large influx of refugees, both Jewish and non-Jewish, because they were just living across the border. And there were some pretty horrific stories. We had one or two people staying for a short time in our flat, who have escaped from Austria, but then they moved on. But even at that stage, one thought that all these Nazi excesses were directed at individuals, either because they were Jewish inverted commas capitalists, or they were political people, communist, social democrats coming across the border.
And you would have then been at a different school, would you, at this stage?
I just entered, or a few months before, entered a gymnasium, which is a grammar school in English terminology. And it was quite a historic grammar school in town, established in the 17th century. In fact, one of my uncles was one of the teachers in it. And it was the school which my father attended many years earlier as well. It was interesting. It was the first time I was in the whole community. It was no longer a Jewish school. Perhaps it brought with itself the sort of the first anti-Semitic influences one sort of found out, but not all that serious at that stage.
What sort of instances would they have been?
We had the numerous clauses in the school, which meant that on average there were about 5 or 6 Jewish students in the class out of a total number of 30, 35, 40, which numerically it was probably still, or statistically it was probably still higher than the proportion of Jews in town. Even so, it was only a small group. And some of our non-Jewish classmates shunned Jews and verbally abused them in some way. Life was bearable.
You were saying earlier that you had heard rumours or stories, first-hand stories as well, on what was happening in Nazi Germany. Is that right?
We heard quite a lot of what was going on in Germany in the first instance, because perhaps not so many Jewish friends of my parents, but certainly some of the political friends had escaped from Germany. And one or two of them found their way to Hungary. I personally sort of met a number of them because they came to us for nothing more, for a dinner or passing through. From then one heard the first news of camps like Dachau, and then a bit later Sachsenhausen. Then after the Anschluss in Austria, there were some people who came over from Vienna pretty battered, physically battered, black eyes and swollen limbs and those.
And what's the situation in your part of Hungary? Were the restrictions increasing at this time? Were you aware of a sort of...
1937 was the time when actually in the town of Győr, then Hungarian Prime Minister Baranyi has uttered words in a speech which more or less would translate, there is a Jewish question in Hungary. It didn't go any further than that at that stage, but it made the general population not only more aware, but shifted them also in their sort of overall views of the Jewish population.
And with the deteriorating, you know, situation in Europe, one thinks of what was happening in Czechoslovakia, for instance. Did that have effect on you in Hungary?
The Sudetenland and the Czechoslovakia situation in sort of 1938 and then 1939 did affect life in Hungary as well, in a major way. Under the first Vienna edict, some parts of Hungary that were ceded at the end of World War I to Czechoslovakia were ceded back to Hungary. This was the first time when Chamberlain was waving his various bits of paper. And with the Hungarian liberation of the, what's it called, the upper land, the northern part, north of the Danube, obviously there was a sort of a fairly general mobilization. Things like that happen anyway in the world, it's accompanied by mobilization. And this was when the first really anti-Jewish legislation in Hungary came into force. When the army was mobilized, the military age Jews were not put into the army proper, but were put into so-called work battalions, labor battalions. And these labor battalions were in civilian clothes and had to wear a yellow armband. Our father was still of military age at that time. And it meant that he was called up into the labor battalion. And it was a funny sort of situation, almost funny, because he was garrisoned in the village or town where my maternal grandparents were living. And whilst obviously he was part of military discipline and had to stay in the barracks and all that, he could go out for an extra bath or shower to my grandparents, or for an extra meal for that matter. So his life was perhaps more bearable than his fellow people. Also, with the so-called liberation of this territory, we no longer had the rather complicated rigmarole of visiting my maternal grandparents. One thing, the Hungarians very quickly built a bridge across the Danube, and there was a bus service from there to my grandparents' place, taking about an hour, whereas before one had to divert for about 100 odd miles to visit. And even that was very involved. There was always a certain amount of friction between Hungary and Czechoslovakia. Both border guards and customs made life as difficult as possible for people crossing the borders. And in the school too, similar to what in the UK were the cadet corps, on a voluntary basis, in Hungary there was a cadet corps, so-called Levente, compulsory, but it wasn't. It was still compulsory for Jews as well, but they were treated in very much the same way as the labor battalion grown-ups. When we had our hour a week or 2 hours a week, military training or whatever, we trained with shovels and the others trained with guns, non-firing guns, and that sort of thing. But it was taken in fairly good humor, not humor necessarily, but without too much hassle. And much the same time later in 1938, in November, Kristallnacht, having been in Germany. Obviously, one has heard what was going on in Germany, and there were no direct repercussions in Hungary. They started to implement and enact the so-called first Jewish laws, which were introduced to Parliament just about a month or two before that. And that had quite an impact, not so much on the permanent resident Jews in Hungary, but certainly on the incoming exiles and some of the exiles or immigrating Jews who settled in Hungary over the last 20, 30 years, but not so much on the native population.
Well, what did it mean for sort of the exiles and refugees?
Some of these exiles and refugees that they were put into internment camps in situations completely different but not that dissimilar to the wartime internments in the UK. Obviously the conditions were far worse, some people were actually pushed across borders, and that meant quite serious repercussions, in some cases actual death. Also, if they weren't interned, they had to report to police stations daily or weekly or whatever. They couldn't own a lot of things. They couldn't run shops, build their businesses, couldn't own valuables beyond a certain limit. There weren't that many cars in those days, but they couldn't own a car. And I think they also had to hand in their radios. I was still quite young, and it's a very long time ago, so I can't remember the full details, but this sort of persecution. And then a few months later, Hitler marched in, not just into the Sudetenland, but into the rest of Czechoslovakia. And Czechoslovakia virtually was broken up completely. And Hungary, being a good boy in German eyes, was ceded another bit of the old Hungary back. This time the bits to the northeast, the has been called over the period the sort of Carpato Ukraine. Again, there was a mobilization, that sort of thing, army occupying these territories. But my father was by that time too old to be called up again into the labor battalions, but many other Jews were. It didn't make all that much difference. About a month after the Germans walked into Czechoslovakia, the Italians brought into Albania. That there's the first real war and similar defeat that they faced in many periods before and after in history. And very shortly after that, the so-called Second Jewish Laws were enacted in Hungary. These were a bit more severe. Universities were virtually closed for Jews. Certain professions, certainly as far as the new intake was concerned, was closed. Law, medicine, in particular. Minor restrictions as well.
Anything that affected you and your family, you know, people who were really settled there?
Not so much. Well, whilst there were many, what shall I call, intellectuals in the family, there weren't many lawyers, there were some doctors. But they were already well established older people, so it didn't really affect them. Some of my cousins who were just about to enter university could not pursue the subjects at any rate that they originally intended.
Yes, and this must have been worrying for you as well, you know, as a younger person. Were you aware of your feelings at this time? You know, you would have been, what, about 11, 12 now?
At that stage, I was about 12 years old. Probably still too young to this sort of thing affecting me personally. But certainly about the family and even myself, they're starting to think, well, what will I do when I grow up? Particularly grammar schools were full 8-year schools. But after the first 4 years, many people dropped out either to go into an occupation or whatever, or go to specialized schools, trade schools, that sort of thing. I continued in the grammar school, which sort of made my life in that respect more permanent for the next 4 years.
And also, you were still in this cadet corps wielding your shovel, were you?
I was still in the cadet corps wielding my shovel. In some respect, as time wore on, it became more of a joke rather than becoming more serious. Perhaps not in the really long run, but certainly. 1939, 1940, 1941 period. We talk at the moment about the middle of 1939, and September was rapidly approaching, and many of us still remember the speech that the state of war exists on the 3rd of September between Germany and the British Empire, practically. Mm.
Did you hear that?
I think I probably heard the broadcast, not perhaps in it, or may have been sort of overplayed the English words of it, but we listened to the BBC, and yes, we heard it in the Hungarian or German broadcast to which we listened. And in a strange sort of way, the BBC in Hungarian was, or the Hungarian service of the BBC was not called BBC. It was called the Hungarian voice from London. But it was the BBC. It was officially the BBC, not just that it was called that.
And that would have been in Hungarian.
That would have been in Hungarian. And for convenience reasons, sometimes we listen to it in Hungarian, sometimes in German, simply because of the time of the day the various programs have gone out. And one wasn't supposed to be listening to Western broadcasts. It was still permitted, but it wasn't officially the thing.
This, of course, would have related, wouldn't it, the outbreak of war with the German invasion on Poland.
The Germans invaded Poland, and it had an effect on Hungary as well.
Yes.
Not so much on this occasion in our particular region where we lived, because the common border with Poland was in the northeast, and we were living in the very west of Hungary. So whatever exiles, refugees, fleeing Polish soldiers, came across. They were on the other end of Hungary rather than where we lived. And actually this was with one sort of exception, because the major internment camp for the Polish officers who escaped from Poland was in an old military barracks in Dürr. And in fact, there were also some, and very few, Polish Jewish soldiers, and they were also there. And the uncle of mine who wrote the history of the Jews in was involved with providing with other members of the Jewish congregation to provide comforts, not only to the few Jewish soldiers, but also to some of the Gentile officers with them.